You want to turn over with me to the book of Philippians? We'll continue on. We're at Philippians chapter 1, down to verse 9. And here he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for life. We thank you that you breathe life into us. We thank you that we have freedom. We thank you that you give us choices. We thank you that we can go out and share the gospel with those that are around us. I pray that we take those opportunities and share the gospel. I pray for this morning, and I pray for you to speak through me. Allow the Spirit to lead and guide and open up the word and open up our hearts and convict each and every one of us, that we will learn and grow in the word of God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How would you rate your own prayer life? If you had to give yourself a grade, would it be an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F? Or maybe even incomplete? Maybe we can put it in a different way. Is it excellent? Is it above average? Is it average? Is it below average? Or maybe I need a lot of help. And I think we would all choose that we all need help with our prayer life. And as we look at what the Apostle Paul did here in Philippians chapter 1, and as he prays for the people at Philippi, I hope that we can all learn from it. I hope that we can all grow from it. You know, I think prayer is somewhat the most easiest thing and yet the hardest discipline of the Christian life. It's the easiest because when I lay down Eliza at night, it took her a while. She used to fight me and say, "No pray, no pray, no pray." But now she goes through and says, "Pray Chad, pray Daddy, pray Mama, pray." So we got to go through 37 names. But as a child, it can be easy. But as an adult, it gets harder and harder because, again, that it just becomes difficult. Are we doing it daily? Are we asking God for help? Are we crying out to Him? Prayer is the hardest discipline because it's the most difficult to maintain over a long period of time. You know, it's easy to enroll in the school of prayer, but hard to get a graduate degree. You know, I believe everyone prays. Whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, I believe everyone prays. Now, I don't know who the unbeliever is praying to, but you always hear them say, in times of desperate need, they're praying. But we could all improve in this area. Even our best moments, we still must admit that we have barely touched the hem of the Master's garment in the arena of prayer. Prayer is the very sword of the saints, said Francis Thompson. But many times we don't get it out. Many times we don't use that sword. You know, Lee Robertson called prayer the Christian secret weapon forged in the realms of glory. Why do we not use it more effectively? You know, many times we don't know what to say when we pray. You know, maybe there's moments when you don't know someone very well. You're praying for friends, loved ones, neighbors, co-workers, missionaries. And many times we put the word bless in there. Bless Sally. Bless Bobby. Bless Susie. I think if we took that word bless out of our category, we'd have a tough time. But again, we can always bless people, but I think we can move far beyond that. And I think we can see that this morning here in Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 9, he starts and he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more." And he talks about superabound. He wants their love to abound, not to decrease, but to increase. And you know, there's days that I get up in the morning and I say, "Man, I feel loving. I feel kind. I feel nice." But there's other days I get up and I'm like, "I'm not doing this today." You know, we have our bad days. But love has to be increasing, not decreasing. Or it may be certain people that you run into. It's very easy to love certain people, and it's very difficult to love others. And this is what his prayer is. that your love may abound, superabound, more and more. And the way I imagine it, I imagine an empty cup slowly being filled with water. And when that water reaches to the brim, it begins to overflow down the sides of that cup. I think that's the picture that Paul has in mind. Love filling the hearts of the Philippians until it overflows. You know, all of Paul's prayer, if you'll go through the New Testament, it always starts with love. Look back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They call it the love chapter. The Apostle Paul is all about love. If we don't have love, we have nothing. You can see in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. In the end of that chapter, he says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. No matter how much love you give out, you may think you're the most loving person in here, but that's something that can still increase. That's something that can still grow. Paul prays that their love would increase in depth and in extent. He is praying that they would love more people and would love them in a greater way. Have more love for God, more love for fellow Christians, more love for the non-Christians. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Again, you may have a certain person. You may struggle with unbelievers. You may struggle with believers. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, believers are too judgmental. Again, whatever you're struggling with, increase that love. It's easy to understand why Paul's prayer begins with love. Since we live in a fallen world, we'll often find ourselves surrounded by cantankerous people, irritable people. Love is the glue that holds the human race together. You can overlook the faults of each other. You can overlook the problems of each other. If the Lord Jesus Christ can send his son to die on the cross for you, I don't even know how bad of a person you are, or for me. If he took his time to die on the cross for me, my love should be continually increasing each and every day. He goes on in that same verse and he says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, if we're fully to understand what the apostle prayed for and be more equipped to know what we should be praying for, we need to decipher this verse. You know, a lot of people may claim that this verse is talking about knowing someone. I have to know them before I can love them. Do I specifically need to walk in their shoes, understand where they're coming from, feel their pain before I can love them and help them? We don't need to know their story. I don't think Jesus Christ knew your story before he went to the cross. Yes, he knew it. He knew how you were going to live. He knew, but he was still willing. He knew. But the word here for knowledge is the Greek word epignosis. This word has in mind a different type of knowledge, and it specifically refers to spiritual knowledge. The more spiritual knowledge we have, the more we can love. The word knowledge means based on a deep, personal, and intimate relationship. Paul is asking that their love express itself in intimate knowledge of who God is. This knowledge that Paul writes about in Philippians 1 is a knowledge of God's word. When we can have a knowledge of God's word and couple that with discernment, we can make clear biblical judgments. You know, so how do we attain this knowledge? How do we obtain this knowledge? Again, it goes back to prayer. Prayer is the key to everything. If you want to have a closer relationship with the Lord, pray. If you want to have more knowledge, spiritual, pray. It has to be given to us by God. He alone can open our minds to understand the Bible. But we have to take the initiative in order to read and study it. You know, sometimes we say that love is blind. God says no love needs clear vision. Our love needs the guidance of knowledge, or else we will end up loving things we ought not to love. Entering into relationships that are not good for us. While love is supreme, it is never enough. Love must be guided by true knowledge. This is the burden of Paul's prayer. Where do we find this kind of knowledge? We get it from the Word of God. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our knowledge comes from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can teach us and lead us and guide us, and it reveals things to us of God. You can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that we come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can be known them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Bury yourself in the Bible with an open heart, and very soon your whole life will change. Paul wants the Philippians to learn to think Christianity in every situation. Whether you're at the grocery store buying things, whether you're at the mechanic shop, whether you're at work, everything should come back to the Word of God. Even with everything going on in the world today, it doesn't matter. If you come back to the Word of God and have the knowledge and the spiritual knowledge of the Word of God, and we're constantly growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, nothing can concern us in this earth. This earth and this world is such a short, short time. He goes on in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." A lot of different versions use the word increasing discernment. Approve what is excellent, so you may be able to discern what is best. You need to use your head and your feet and your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent. That you may learn to prize what is of value. Paul prays that the Philippians would have such love and knowledge that they would continually make wise choices in life. He is praying that they would not be satisfied with the status quo or the spiritual mediocrity, but would push on to true spiritual excellence. He's asking God for the gift of spiritual discrimination. You know, in our day, discrimination is mostly a negative tone. But in spiritual realm, we desperately need to discriminate between good and bad. And I think it goes a lot farther than what's right and wrong. Discernment needs to be between what's best and what's better. What's better and even better than that. It's not between what's right and wrong, but it's when to share the gospel. Listen to that voice. It's between what's better and best. I think we can use discernment every day. No matter how much you pray, no matter how spiritual you are, discernment comes into your life every single day. I think we need to pray for discernment. How we handle situations, how we respond to people, choices that we make. You know, if we're saying yes to one thing, we're saying no to another. Pray about the decisions. Pray about that discernment. Pray for the voice of the Lord. You know, God's people need to learn discernment so that under pressure they can make wise choices. You know, when I got married, my mother gave me a prayer journal she had all of her life. And as parents, we pray for our kids to have discernment in what spouse they choose and what decisions they make and what college they go to and how their life is handled to them. You know, we need to pray for our kids that they have wise discernment. True discernment gives you vision to see what is right and then the courage to choose to do it. Many times we may know the right thing to do. Like I said, it doesn't matter whether it's between right and wrong, but many times we may hear the voice of God and say, share the gospel. But if we just know it and don't do it, it's not true discernment. We have to go through with it. We have to share that gospel. When we hear the voice of God, we have to say, I'm doing it. We have to step forward. You know, may we never be satisfied with the degree of love that we may have, but strive to increase our knowledge and wisdom of how to love others more abundantly. Paul's prayer continues with three answers as he continues to move on. In verse 10 again, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. And that word sincere, you can use pure and blameless life. The word pure comes from two other words that mean judgment and sunlight. If the first century, the shops were often dimly lit, which meant that prospective customers would have trouble viewing the wares. When they took the pottery or the fabric into the sunlight, they could see it as it really was. The sunlight revealed the truth. To be pure means to live in such a way that the truth about who we are is clear. It means that people don't have to wonder about what you're doing in the darkness because you have nothing to hide. If you're brought into the light of Jesus Christ, what does your life look like? What does your prayer life look like? What does your spiritual life look like? What does your work life look like? The word blameless comes from the Greek word skandalon, from which we get the English word scandal. It originally referred to the bait and a trap that would catch unsuspecting animals. It came to mean a lifestyle that caused others to fall into sin. A blameless person is free from moral scandal. It means you don't stumble into sin and you don't cause others to stumble by your behavior. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Philippi to be blameless, to be pure, to be sincere until that glorious hope of the return of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he goes on and saying, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Just as the health of a tree can be discerned by the quality of the fruit, the health of a Christian can be seen as a spiritual fruit is produced. We must remember that this will only happen as we are serious about the things of God and serious about obedience. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Turn back a page or two. How is the fruit of righteousness produced? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. He always starts with love. But we want all these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. The reason we can have the fruit of righteousness, the reason we can have the fruits of the Spirit are because of Jesus Christ. It's produced through Jesus Christ as we obey, as we begin to produce the fruit of righteousness, just like a healthy tree's fruit comes as a result of the proper necessities so too our fruit is produced as we concern ourselves with the proper things. You know, a healthy tree doesn't try to produce fruit. It just does. As a Christian, as a believer, as somebody in the Word of God, you should just produce fruit. You should produce the love. You should produce the knowledge. You should produce the fruits of the Spirit. Be diligent in studying the Scriptures in order to discern the mind of Christ and what the excellent things are. The fruit that we want comes through Jesus Christ. As we are rooted deeply in Him and as we draw our strength from Him, His power flows through us and produces the fruit of righteousness in us. And the way he closes this section out, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I put two words together and made up a word, which is, we should have a theodoxic life to the glory and praise of God. Theo means God, and doxic means glory. You know, a theodoxic life is one that brings glory or praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a person actually enhances God's reputation in the world. How is your prayer life? How is your spiritual life? How is your life? Are you bringing praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? When people see you, do they think naturally about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see Jesus Christ in you? Does your life serve as a good advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would he be willing to pay you to be his advertisement? You know, throughout this, we've learned it starts with abounding love, which manifests itself into knowledge and discernment, resulting in the ability to make wise choices under pressure and the visible fruit of a righteous life that comes from a living relationship with Jesus Christ, so that God alone gets all the glory. I hope you'll pray this prayer about yourself. Pray this prayer for others. Maybe there's somebody on your heart right now that needs this prayer. Maybe you need this prayer for yourself to show more love, to have more knowledge, to have this theodoxic life, that whatever you do will bring glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and the prayer that he prayed for the church at Philippi. I just pray that you'll touch each and everyone's heart today, that we show more love at Grace Bible Church, that we'll constantly be hearts and arms open to show the love of Christ, that we will share the gospel, that we will have true discernment, not between what's right and wrong, but what's better and best. When we hear the still small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, hey, go, that will go. When we hear him say, share, that will share. I just pray that you'll open up our hearts and souls and just be there for us, Lord. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.